May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Hi, everybody. Good morning, Methodists. I'm sure that many of you, like myself, were tortured in your youth, being forced to memorize the 23rd Psalm. But if you were, you'll recognize some of the dance step as I read the opening of Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who has created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the waters they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture reading, our gospel passage, is from Luke. It's the story of Jesus' baptism, which we traditionally read on this Sunday of Epiphany season. I was preparing for worship this week, reading these texts that are assigned in the lectionary and that we'd planned from weeks ago, suddenly aware of how much fire appears in these texts, not only in the passage Jerry just read from Isaiah, but here in Luke's telling of the baptism. It's funny how in certain moments of life, words have a different power and implication. As I read this story of Jesus' baptism, of Jesus reminding us that God takes pleasure in us, it comes with sobering reminder of how hard that is, the intensity of fire. It is an invitation to ponder the depth of this claim of love. I invite you to listen for the word of God. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff you will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. My heart, like yours, has been so heavy this week. My spirit has been anxious watching the news, hitting refresh on the app that shows where the fire is and where it's evacuated, receiving texts from far away, people checking in on people who I knew were closer in to the fires. So much has been lost. We know that members of our own congregation have lost their homes, including Paul and Doreen Rutter and Becca Brerin and Ruby Swanson's family. We know that members of our congregation have close family who've lost their homes, John and Donna Height's son Greg and his wife Emily and children, Heather Robinson's sister Claire in Altadena. We know that members of our congregation have lost workplaces and businesses that you're connected to and familiar with that are part of your story and your family's story. You've lost your doctor's office, a place where so much of your life has had meaning. People have lost their livelihoods and their security. And so many people remain evacuated away from their home. People who are even here today are not in their homes. I know that you've been providing refuge and shelter to neighbors and friends, a spot for the night or a place where they can be for a long time to come. I know that you've been reaching out and trying to do what you can to help others. I've been in touch with the other United Methodist churches in our LA area that have lost their buildings, the Community UMC in the Palisades, and the Altadena United Methodist Church. I am fervently praying for those communities and those pastors who don't even have their church as a gathering place anymore. I'm aware of so much that's lost. Communities that are at risk, not the physical buildings, but the relationships and connections that hold a place and its people together. This afternoon, we're hosting a prayer service that's going to happen here in the sanctuary at 2, with time for prayer in the sanctuary and in conversation in the loft afterwards. Everyone is welcome. There's so much need and hunger for a place to just be together, to process each of our experiences with this disaster that continues. I'm grateful that John Shaver, the pastor of the Community UMC in the Palisades, will be here. His community is gathering together in the backyard of a church member and online, and we're grateful that they can gather here as well. Over on the side chapel here in our sanctuary, I've set 2 stoles that are going to be given to Pastor John at the church in Pacific Palisades and J. Andre Wilson, the pastor in Altadena, who lost their clergy stoles, is one of many things that are lost in this fire. The yoke of responsibility of pastoral leadership is particularly heavy in a season of disaster. So I invite you to add your prayers to them today. They'll be out this afternoon as a prayer station as well. Practical and symbolic representation of our prayers for the people who will lead us in this time. And we have lots of prayer shawls up here, you may have noticed, to be given to the members of our church family and church families who have lost their homes, and to be shared through the Pasadena Church with families who are evacuated or have lost homes in their community. So we'll give that invitation later in the service, but your prayers make a difference. This morning, as I was waking up, I got a text from my friend Larry, who's a retired pastor in South Carolina, who wanted me to know that he'd already been to church and during their prayers of the people explicitly prayed for the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles to be a source of blessing and comfort for the people who come here in our communities. So I'm feeling really good about today. I hope you know that we are not alone in this. And even across geographies and as relationships change and shift in what will come after the fire, we belong together. Earlier this week, Amelia reached out to me and said, "Is this the wrong time to do a baptism? I don't want to show up with the wrong tone in the middle of a crisis." And I said, "I think it's the right tone to claim our belonging in God and with each other, to claim our stake in hope." And I know it felt good to me already, and I hope it has to you, to have promises we could make again, connections we can reaffirm that remind us of how deeply we're held in the unfailing, eternal love of God, and how fundamentally we belong to and with each other. In both of the scripture passages that are assigned for this Sunday in the season of Epiphany, when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, there are reminders and invitations of God's special and particular love for us. They remind us that we are pleasing to God, that we are precious and beloved, and that God goes with us through the tragedy. The prophet Isaiah, of course, writing to a people who have been a nation in exile, now redeemed so that it can come home. It's not a version of scripture or the promise of God that is at all ignorant of the realities of oppression and mortality and struggle and suffering and exile. It's a promise that comes in full knowledge and in the midst of the experience of that exile that reminds us that we belong in God. These ancient Hebrew Bible descriptions of redemption have roots in quite a number of things, including the redemption, like we know in the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. Redemption allows a woman who has lost her husband and her children to have a new claim of family, allows a restoration of a family that seemed to have been cut off by finding new belonging, claiming new hope in offspring that had seemed unimaginable. Redemption is about reconnection and assurance of a life that will continue. Redemption is also a material and financial redemption. It's a ending and severing of the imprisonment of debt, a paying off, a setting free and liberating. And redemption is a promise that lives can be made whole again. So, as the prophet Isaiah declares that we have been redeemed, we hear it today as an assurance that not even death, not even loss of everything we know or love, cuts us off from the promise of God, from the depth of our belonging in the community of faith, from our claim in a future that holds hope. And then there's the story of baptism. Of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, of the water and the dove and the voice of the Holy Spirit that claims Jesus as God's own son. The baptism that sets a pattern for us to be invited into, that declares again with deep assurance that we are claimed and we belong. This is an invitation to know that we are named and beloved and precious and whole. In preparing for the prayer service this afternoon, I've been talking with Rachel Gibson of our congregation, who's a mental health professional and who is so keenly aware of the cost to all of us of this season of loss. Now, certainly there are people whose loss is exceedingly sharp, who have lost their security, their home, their loved ones. But all of us also have been bearing the cost of this anxiety, the uncertainty that remains with us, the knowledge of the losses we will all experience by a city that will be forever changed. The fires revealed problems that existed in our city even before this disaster began. Inequalities of economics, inequalities with long histories of racism, the lack of security and safety of so many in our community. All of us bear that. And all of us today are in need of reminders that we are seen, that our stories matter, that God notices and knows and loves and calls us, each of us, offering, like the water of baptism, a soothing, a cooling, a calming, an extinguishing blessing of promise and hope. So this day, I hope you know that you are known and named and loved and invited to claim belonging in hope that will not fail, that we're going to need each other in this moment and in days to come. So be good to yourself and take care of your neighbor and find a part to play in the work of making this Los Angeles community look a little more like the kingdom of God. I've been so inspired by the spirit that is so present in our community of people wanting to help, of restaurants preparing meals and trying to find someone to give them to, of people emptying their closets and wanting to be able to offer assistance, of people generously setting up large places where people can simply come and find what they need. We know that it's still not enough, that there is this generous spirit of connection and community that I treasure and I celebrate, because it shows us the way to move forward, not in isolation or fear, but in connection and service and community and hope. This day, may you know the hope of God, a love that's stronger than death, that's available to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, for whom death was not the final answer, for whom resurrection is a reality. May we hold that hope together to be for one another the balm, the cooling water, the hope that our community needs. Don't forget that we are pleasing to God. The divine delights in you and invites you to know your part in a community of grace. May it be so. Amen.